The first episode of Unqualified News was back in October 9th, 2019. Wow, what I wouldn't give to go back to that day, right? Before this COVID, before all this. The second episode was an episode titled AT&T Broken, Joe Biden Corruption, General Electric Bad Biz. Second episode. On my second episode, I was talking about Joe Biden's corruption. I don't know, it's just kind of wild to look back. Hey, my qualifiers, welcome to another episode of Unqualified News with your host, M. Mauricio. That's me. And we're just going to start off just like that. Like very good friends that haven't seen each other for a very long time. We're going to start off right where we left off. I miss saying that. My qualifiers. Welcome to another episode of Unqualified News. I missed it. Hope everybody's doing well, considering everything. Everything always gets better. Trust me. Here I bring you guys a story from San Diego. Some young lads from Chula Vista in Tijuana trying to smuggle in some drugs and guns for the Sinaloa cartel. There's also an article here from thehill.com, and it's basically letting us know Los Angeles County again is suspending outdoor dining due to all the coronavirus surging all over the state. There's also a story here from Reuters. Ford Motor Company is actually buying a bunch of ultra cold freezers to be able to distribute their COVID-19 vaccine to their employees. So imagine that. You go into your job at Walmart, Amazon, or wherever. And if you feel a little sick, just go to the break room and get yourself a COVID shot. It's just it's wild. It's just pretty wild. Los Angeles County suspends outdoor dining amid coronavirus surge. This one here is from thehill.com, Nathaniel Wexel. Los Angeles County is suspending outdoor dining for the foreseeable future as coronavirus cases surge in the region and across the country. The order from the Public Health Department will force restaurants, wineries, and breweries into a takeout and delivery-only model for the first time since May. It will remain in effect for at least 3 weeks, though it could last longer. If cases keep rising, the county will impose even stricter rules, including a targeted stay-at-home order for the 3 weeks. Residents are currently urged to stay home as much as possible. Public health officials made the announcement on Sunday, and the order will be effective on Wednesday. That's one day before Thanksgiving right there. County officials warned last week that if five-day average of cases surpassed 4,000 or hospitalizations hit a 1,750 per day, in-person dining at restaurants, breweries, wineries, and bars would be restricted. The five-day average reached 4,097 on Sunday, according to the Department of Public Health, and hospitalizations stood at 1,401 over the past 7 days. The number of hospitalized patients increased nearly 35%. The announcement of restrictions is the second to hit the battered California restaurant industry in many weeks. Last week, restaurants were ordered to limit outdoor capacity to 50%, and outdoor gatherings were restricted to 15 people. Indoor dining has been banned in Los Angeles since the July 4th weekend. Non-essential businesses must close down for outdoor dining and shopping at 10 p.m. as part of an overnight curfew, but restaurants can still offer takeout. However, there is not much evidence to show that curfews have an impact in limiting the spread of the coronavirus. Health experts generally agree the risk of COVID-19 infection from dining indoors is much higher than dining outdoors, and many restaurants have invested heavily in safe outdoor spaces ahead of winter. There is also a concern that closing outdoor dining will push people to gather in larger groups inside private homes. Some states have already imposed restrictions on private gatherings ahead of Thanksgiving, but it's not clear on how they can enforce the rules. So there you have it from thehill.com. And yes, here in LA County, we went to color purple. I believe it's a color spectrum they have going on. Purple is a very dark, scary color. So right now they're closing everything down again. You know, like I've mentioned before, I work, you know, with the restaurants, a lot of restaurant owners, and as of lately, I work in the OC, so the Orange County is a little different than Los Angeles County. There's a little bit more freedom in Orange County, but there's still outdoor dining here, I believe, but I believe that might be going away as well. I think what will end up happening is a lot of people that want to go to a restaurant outdoors in Los Angeles County is probably going to hop on the 405 and, you know, drive for 40 minutes or so and find themselves in a different county, maybe Orange County, San Bernardino County. The cases are surging. There are more people testing positive, but less people are dying. More people are testing positive, but less people are dying. That's what's happening. Cash, drugs, ammo seized in multi-year investigation targeting Sinaloa cartel. 3 charged. This one comes out of NBCSanDiego.com by Cristina Bravo. Charges were filed Tuesday in federal court against 3 Mexican nationals who allegedly trafficked drugs for the Sinaloa cartel, resulting in what agents believe to be the largest single-day seizure of cash, drugs, and ammunition in San Diego history. Jesus Burgos Arias, 32, of Chula Vista, and Tijuana residents Juan Alrote Venegas, 44, and Jose Y. Perez, 54, were arrested Friday in a joint operation between local and federal officials targeting associates of the cartel. $3.5 million in cash, 1,507 pounds of cocaine, 52.8 pounds of fentanyl, about 20,000 rounds of 50 caliber ammunition, and hundreds of body armor vests were also seized from a truck yard in Otay Mesa. The men currently housed in San Diego Central Jail were charged with conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute a controlled substance, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. They will be transferred to a federal custody and are scheduled to appear in court this week, the U.S. Attorney's Office said. If found guilty, the men could face 10 years to life in prison plus a $10 million fine. The investigation, led by the Southern District of California, started in 2011 and over its 5 years has resulted in charges against more than 125 people, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. It started as a probe into what was believed to be a small-scale drug distribution cell in National City and Chula Vista, and has since given law enforcement the most comprehensive views to date of the inner workings of the world's most prolific, violent, and powerful drug cartels, according to the attorney's office. U.S. Attorney Robert Brewer praised the collective effort of law enforcement agencies to aggressively attack the Sinaloa cartel's drug smuggling, money laundering, and arms smuggling operations, depriving them of their illegal merchandise, their profits, and a safe haven. Department of Homeland Security Investigations Special Agent in Charge Cardwell T. Morant said the seizure is significant not only because of its size, but because it ties a direct link between drug trafficking and illegal drugs and weapons. Wow, so these cats, one guy from Chula Vista and the other guy's from Tijuana, just right on the other side of the border, probably looked at each other through the gate and made it happen. You know, what caught my eye was the amount of product. It was 1,507 pounds of cocaine. It just seems, and 52.8 pounds of fentanyl. They're just not rounded out, you know? Seems like something's missing. I don't know. But hey, they got caught up. And there's our war on drugs right here. Another thing that also comes to mind is this sting operation started back in 2011. I don't know what you guys think, but when I think that, I think about all the paychecks that have been giving out to these officials since 2011, all the officials getting paid for this certain sting operation, right? Since 2011, there's been a couple people that have had a check consistently since 2011 because they're trying to catch these guys doing whatever they're doing. I just feel like money could be allocated somewhere else, you know? I don't know. Alrighty, you know that jingle. Trump's tweets at Real Donald Trump. Biden can only enter the White House as president if he can prove that his ridiculous 80 million votes were not fraudulently or illegally obtained. When you see what happened in Detroit, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee, massive voter fraud, he's got a big unsolvable problem. Whoa, that's a wordy one right there. And as of now, this was about an hour ago he posted this. He has 48,000 comments, about 55,000 retweets, and 165,000 loves. And at the very bottom of his tweet, Twitter has put a little disclaimer here. So it's just a little blue like tab, and it says, "This claim about election fraud is disputed." So you click on it, and first thing that pops out, U.S. Elections Live says, "Voter fraud of any kind is exceedingly rare in the U.S., election experts confirm. Experts and officials said there has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 U.S. elections. The election process was secure, and voter fraud of any type is incredibly rare, according to the Associated Press and Reuters. Officials and experts warned ahead of Election Day that most interference in U.S. elections, whether from foreign or domestic players, comes in the form of misinformation campaigns, many of which are intended to create distrust in the U.S.'s electoral process." Man, so this is it. This is Twitter basically flagging a lot of his tweets. And I saw that on Election Day, they flagged a lot of his tweets. A lot of his tweets were flagged. You had to click on it. And I mean, you know, I don't know. Twitter has a lot of power now over people's freedom of speech, right? So because Twitter does tend to lean left, could that be why they flagged a lot of his tweets? Or could it just be because Donald Trump is Donald Trump and he says a lot of shit he shouldn't say? Who knows? Ford orders 12 ultra-cold freezers to distribute COVID-19 vaccines to employees. This one comes from Reuters.com by Ben Clayman. Detroit. Ford Motor Company said on Tuesday it has ordered a dozen ultra-cold freezers that can safely store Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, a move amid at ensuring the U.S. automaker's workers have access to vaccines when they are rolled out nationally. Ford's purchase mirrors efforts by U.S. states and cities to buy equipment to store millions of doses of Pfizer's vaccine at temperatures of minus 70 degrees Celsius, or minus 94 Fahrenheit here in the U.S., significantly below the standard for vaccines, which is 36 to 46 Fahrenheit. Healthcare providers and states are preparing for a new type of vaccines by Pfizer and Moderna that require lower temperatures for storage. "We're doing this so that we can make the vaccine available to our employees on a voluntary basis," Ford spokeswoman Kelly Felker said. Details on how Ford will use the freezers, which are expected to be delivered by year end, are still being worked out, she said. Ford screens its workers in plant and, if COVID-19 testing is required, has partnerships with local healthcare providers. Assembly workers are considered essential in most states, but not at the top of the list for vaccines, which are expected to be distributed first to healthcare workers and nursing home residents. Automakers have been largely able to avoid the spread of the virus among hourly workers in their assembly plants after a two-month shutdown earlier in the year. But COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are spiking in the United States, especially in the Midwest. Felker did not know which company is supplying Ford with the freezers. Major manufacturers include Thermo Fisher Scientific, PHC Corp. of North America, Lussenburg's B Medical Systems, Sterling Ultracold, and Helmer Scientific. Some specialty freezer makers have warned of month-long waits for units. Ford, which decided to buy the freezers on its own and it's not working with other companies or states, did not disclose how much it spent, but the specialized freezers required by Pfizer's vaccine can cost up to $5,000 to $15,000 apiece, according to industry officials. General Motors Company said it had not purchased freezers at this time. "We are taking steps to be prepared to make vaccines available to our employees when the time is right and vaccines are available to us," GM spokesman Patrick Morrissey said. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles said it is studying the most effective approach to distributing vaccines to employees when they become available. Officials at Toyota Motor Corp and the United States Auto Workers Union, which represents most of U.S. hourly workers at the Detroit automakers, did not have an immediate comment. A Michigan Department of Health spokeswoman said the agency was not aware of companies seeking to buy these freezers. Lynn Suffin said state officials surveyed healthcare providers and health departments and are aware of about 50 ultra-cold freezers in Michigan. State officials have also purchased another 9, she said. There you have it. I brought this story because I'm investing in Ford. So I've been investing in Ford, putting in a little money here and there since Ford. It's an all-American company. And there you go. They're taking the lead on this. I really like that. And that's from routers.com. All right, my qualifiers, thanks again. I appreciate you guys listening in, and I will remain consistent. I'll get those stories out. Everything is in a more consistent level in my life, and I really do hope that everything in your life is also getting up to par. Remember, everything always gets better. All right, love you guys. Peace.